There's a commercial on television. It's a woman who has been diagnosed as having cancer, terminal cancer, and her doctor basically told her there wasn't anything he can do for her. So her sister called this cancer center and asked if they would be able to help her sister. So she took her sister there and they did some tests. And when they met with her to give her the results of the tests, the doctor basically said, "I don't see an expiration date stamped on you," which was good news for her. And every time I hear this commercial, I know he's talking about human life. And I know, you know, he's basically saying, you're not going to die immediately down the road, because in human life, we all make our transitions. But when I hear it from a spiritual perspective. We do not have an expiration date stamped on us, because there is no death, there is no end for the spiritual being. The I am that lives within us is eternal. So I wonder, why do we fight the aging process or fear leaving this existence? For in reality, we do have life eternal. Now, we don't only fight the aging process, but we fight any major change in our experience, whether we call it good or bad. I think psychologists have found that the five major stressors, having a baby, getting married, having a death in the family, moving, and I think it's a new job. I forget what the fifth one is. I always forget. Well, some of those things you would think, well, they're not bad. You know, a new job, a new home, a new baby, a new marriage. But any change, the human being fears any change in general. And sometimes it just has to be a little change. I was an organizational trainer for a very long time, and I used to do workshops where people would sit, you know, in particular chairs. They can sit anywhere they want. And if it was a workshop that lasted 2 or 3 days, you would find people always sat in the same chair. But you always had an argument when somebody on the third day sat in, quote, somebody's chair. Change is very difficult for us. In fact, for many, change is the number one evil. Now, we all have major changes in our lives of one kind or another. And, you know, there's probably more to come. That's just the way that the human experience is for us. Yet, the message that we get from the Bible is, and the mystics, and especially Jesus, is that we are not to resist adversity, that we are not to resist what we consider to be evil. Divine Science says that evil is a false premise, a false belief in a presence and power other than God. And it further says it is a passing condition since it has no principle to sustain it. I like that definition, because if there is something happening in our life that has no principle to sustain it, it will pass. The fastest way that I know to get through a present experience that I do not like, whether it is a fear, a sorrow, a pain, or just a scary situation, is just to let it go. And I say to myself, God is here. God is here. And if I can, depending on where I'm at, although at the dentist you can do this, if they're working on your mouth, you close your eyes and you just go within. You go within. Go within for 30 seconds. Go within for 60 seconds. Go within. And then let God be God in our experience. Now, we need to be in continuous meditation, meaning we need to go in on a regular basis, consistently. You cannot go in on Monday and then not go in till Friday and expect Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to also give you the presence of God. No, we need to be going in on a consistent basis. Now, I just said that we don't have an expiration date. And I think most of you would agree with me that this is an intellectual understanding. We understand intellectually that we don't have an expiration date. But we must go beyond the intellectual understanding of any of these things and have a spiritual understanding. Because otherwise, the knowledge is of no benefit. One of the benefits of silent prayer is that it opens us up. It opens up the door to our consciousness so that spirit can then give us spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding is permanent. Now, reading books, studying the Bible, attending classes, coming to Sunday services are all critical to our spiritual unfoldment process. But these things are all support. We must do the work ourselves. We must do the work ourselves because we need to have a relationship directly with God. And we need to be able to apply the truth that we know, meaning the truth that we understand, to our daily activities. Now, we all have stories to tell. What's important in our stories are the lessons. What are the lessons that we are learning? For the challenges will continue until we realize that we are not living the life that God gave us. In order to know life eternal, we must awaken to the realization of our oneness with our Father. The truth is that we are not our bodies. These bodies were created by human consciousness. These bodies will eventually die and disappear, but our spiritual body is eternal. It can never die. The spiritual body lives forever. It is infinite. It doesn't age, it doesn't break down, it doesn't get sick. It is interesting to me that even in the human body, there is an internal source that attempts to return the body to its wholeness whenever we have an accident, a wound, an illness. It doesn't matter. It tries to bring us back to wholeness. This week, my husband and I were cleaning out the garage and the boiler room, and I hurt my finger, and it hurt. And I noticed the next morning that it's covered. It's covered, and it doesn't hurt. And I said, this proved my point to me, that the body, but it isn't the body. It is that internal source, that intelligence, that spiritual intelligence that tries to return us back to our wholeness, because that's who we truly are. Now, doctors tell us that we should rest and drink a lot of water when we have a cold or a flu. Well, because they tell us, if you listen to them, they will tell you that it'll get better on its own. And that's normally true. But it gets better on its own, again, because of that intelligence that lives within us. I think some of you know that my husband had an aortic aneurysm a few years back, and he had a leak in the last 3 years in one of the arteries that goes into the heart. And the doctors have told us that most leaks in arteries actually seal themselves. You don't have to do anything to them. Again, it's proving the point of there is an intelligence within us. Our bodies respond to where we are in consciousness. If we focus on the duality of the human existence, our bodies will respond according to our beliefs and the general beliefs of the external world. However, when we let God be God in our lives and we have the awareness of our oneness with God, our body will respond to the divine principle of the omnipresence of God. Wholeness is our birthright. This is why Jesus could heal the sick and infirmed, because he knew truth. He showed us there is no blindness, there is no sickness, there is no injury, there is no trauma. When one can truly see beyond the appearances to the divine spirit that lives in us. When we are God's vehicle, he expresses through us, revealing his wholeness and perfection. The attributes of God's nature are love, wisdom, wholeness, perfection, joy, and abundance. However, unless we have the realization of the presence of God in consciousness, we will not experience his attributes. Students have asked, how do I know that the joy that I feel isn't coming from human consciousness and not from the Christ consciousness? And my response is always the same. When you have the experience of any of God's attributes, whether it's joy or love, happiness, abundance, any of those attributes, you will know the difference. There is a quality to the experience and the circumstances that surround us that give you a clear message that it is coming from God. Because it is the Christ within that is showing us all what a spiritual life is. Dr. Salazar used to say, we give ourselves to God in bits and pieces. And so our God experiences come back to us in bits and pieces. When we live from the consciousness of the Christ only, that which is of God is revealed in our experience, and we then see God in action. When Jesus healed, he wasn't healing a sick body or he wasn't solving problems. It was the Christ within him, the healing Christ, that revealed the truth of all being. For Jesus only saw the children of God who are eternally perfect. Jesus never saw sick or dying people. He didn't see lack or limitation of any kind. It is because of his relationship with the Christ that he could be an instrument for the Christ to show that the so-called illness, problem, or ailment was just an appearance, and truth will reveal the nothingness of the issue. Jesus' whole mission was to teach the truth that God was ever with us and to instruct us on how to reach him. Now, God's healings does not only apply to a sound body, but to relationships, to our bank accounts, to everything that we experience in life. When we face any lack or limitation, it is the signal to stop in our tracks and be still. Turn within. It is important to remember, we need not tell God anything or ask for anything. We need to be still and quiet, and most importantly, listen. Silent prayer is not to change God and have him do something for us. It is to change us. And we will change when we can listen to God. Because when we turn to his presence, it is as we were saying, Father, I know that you are the one source of all. Teach me to pray that I may know you. Teach me your ways so that I may serve your children. In some ways, we should be grateful for the problems and challenges that appear. Because the problems and challenges are bells going off, ringing very loud, telling us to stop doing it our way. For you and I of ourselves can do nothing. In Luke we are told, and I quote, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." Jesus made it clear that we are the children of God, and his love is always with us. We need not take any thought for anything. We already have the kingdom. When we worry or are afraid of possible problems, we bring them to us. For as in mind, so in expression. We attract that which we keep in mind on a consistent basis. Fear is a strong emotion that, if it gets a hold of us, will definitely create exactly what we do not want. This is why we must guard our thoughts and our feelings with all our diligence. We must be careful not to allow to enter in our hearts or stay in our mind those things that we fear. We need to seek his kingdom first with no ulterior motive, which means we go to God for God. When we turn to God, we let go of our wants, our needs, our desires, and our thoughts, because we want God to search our heart and know that we are sincere in wanting to know him. In order to establish a consistent practice of being still, we need to have faith and trust in God. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God made us whole, perfect, and complete. He is our health and well-being. However, if we turn away from him, we don't have a relationship with him, and we do not spend time listening to him, we're then subject to the winds and the ups and downs of the human consciousness." Now, we know what faith is, because it is through faith that we get up in the morning, we drive our cars, we take the metro — it takes a lot of faith — get on planes, eat in restaurants, swim in the ocean, trust doctors. It is faith that keeps us going day in and day out. But we can't put our faith only in people, for we know that at some point we will be disappointed. Again in Corinthians, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God." The wisdom of those out here in the world tends to be based on false premises. Underpinning human wisdom is the belief that good and evil does exist. And it seems to me that in today's world it can't get any worse. You all know people have lost their homes, retirement income, life savings, investments, or even a loved one. And if that's not enough, we now have two major countries who are getting ready to fire nuclear arms at each other. And we happen to be in the middle of it. I bet we wouldn't be surprised who is praying these days. When all of the outside fails and there is nowhere else to go, many turn to God for him to solve the problem or just to make things better. But God knows nothing of human problems. In fact, he doesn't know anything about the human condition. Under God's law, there isn't good or bad luck, poor health, or fear. God is infinite good, perfect wisdom, unlimited abundance, eternal peace and harmony. God does not know of the devil or evil people. He can't. For those things are of the temporary condition known as the mortal state of mind. God knows that which is eternal. You and I were made immortal. We live in eternity with God our Father. When we have faith and trust God and know that it is his word and grace that doeth the works. The word is God's revelation given to us. His word is fulfilling his power. God's word is that which expresses and is manifested in us, through us, and as us. The word is God's truth, which is spirit. God's word has in it the totality of God. Now, we all go through pain and suffering, but these experiences are due to our acceptance of a belief that we are separated from our source. We're separated, we think, from the one good. Did you know that there are no diseases, illness, ailments, or imbalance, or discord of any kind in the body, in relationships, in our bank accounts, or anywhere else in our life? In truth, there is only God, divine spiritual being. The human consciousness knows nothing of God, and God knows nothing of the human consciousness. God is infinite, and the human consciousness is finite. For that which is born of spirit is spirit, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. There is only God and nothing else. There are people who try to spiritualize the human being. Can't be done, and it is a waste of time and energy. Yes, when we have a relationship with God, he comes through us. But the us is not human. It is our spiritual being. This is why when we pray, we must be silent, because human thought and human words only get in the way of our knowing our true spiritual self. We must not allow the noises of the human mind to linger while we are in prayer. There must be silence on our part so that we may enter the temple where God is found. We must realize that being still once or twice a day is not enough. We must turn within as often as possible. Paul said, and this is one of my favorite quotes, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Our continual silent prayer practice and our meditations will put us under God's law of oneness, where the healing Christ within will live our life and we will know God's heaven on earth. God made us a glorious spiritual being. We must be disciplined and want more than anything else to truly know God. It is then that we may live in his paradise, free of the bondage of human consciousness. For as it says in Corinthians, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so it is. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Make sure that your feet are flat on the floor. And just let go of all that's been consuming you. Know in your heart that God is here with you. God is always with you, for he can never leave you nor forsake you. God is your life, your being. He surrounds you and envelops you. Feel deeply within in the silence where God's begotten is found, the Christ. Listen quietly, for the Christ will lead you out of the human wilderness to life everlasting. Listen silently, for God is saying, "Be still. Be still, my beloved, for your kingdom awaits your return." Let us be still. Father, We are ever grateful for your loving presence and your spiritual understanding here and now. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and he gives you life eternal. Amen.